Hello and welcome to Dealcast from Merger Market, the podcast that gives you essential news, data and analysis from around the globe. I'm Juliana Needham, a business journalist who's been covering M&A for a decade. Now, the world's attention may have shifted to the Middle East in recent weeks, but the trade war between the US and China isn't going anywhere. And unsurprisingly, perhaps, it's prompting Chinese companies to review their US business portfolios and their US listings. So in this episode, we're heading to Shanghai to speak to Ling Yang, an editor for Merger Market in China. Hi, Ling. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Juliana.
So, Ling, a framework was agreed between China and the US recently after officials from both countries met in London. Could you update us on how this trade war or tariff war is impacting Chinese companies that operate in the US? We had the US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent say recently that everything is on the table when it comes to removing Chinese companies from US stock exchanges. Can you just tell us a bit more about that and the kind of response to this hostility between the two countries from Chinese companies with US operations or US listings?
Yeah. So with the recent, the meetings from top Chinese and U.S. officials in London, they certainly set the framework. But the trade volatility is still there. And I think the sentiment around the investment community is that it's quite weak between the cross-border investments between China and U.S. So what's been effective right now for China-U.S. tariff is that the U.S. tariffs will be set at 50% on all Chinese goods, while China's tariff remain at 10%. I think the 55% comprises a baseline of 10 reciprocal tariff Trump has imposed on imports from nearly all U.S. trading partners, and on top of that, 20% on all Chinese imports, and also pre-existing 25 levies on imports from China from Trump's first term in the White House. And we know that this tariffs remain effective until around August, mid-August. And it's still likely that they will revert to the previously much higher levels. But the response from hostility between China and the U.S. on Chinese MNCs, I think the government, Chinese government agencies have instructed regulators, including MOFCOM, to block or slow approvals for outbound investments in the U.S. to strengthen their negotiating position. And we also heard that some state-backed funds CIC have pulled and paused new commitments to U.S. private equity firms such as Blackstone, Carlyle, etc. And certainly, I think the sentiment between those two countries in terms of cross-border transactions are quite weak. And Scott Bessent said, everything's on the table. That really spooked a lot of investors who has, stakeholding in the ADRs. But that certainly is a kind of risk that everybody needs to consider about.
Okay, and we've got companies that are presumably looking at their portfolios, Chinese companies that are looking at their portfolios and also their listings. We'll come onto those listings in a bit. But do you have any examples of companies that are kind of looking at selling assets or reviewing their portfolios in light of these announcements and this hostility?
Well, yeah, certainly. I think what we heard is not just state-owned enterprise. They're considering, disposals or carve-outs in the U.S. Also, those private, large private companies and listed conglomerates are also thinking about ways to divest or carve out some of their U.S. Business unit. For example, in January, we know that Hong Kong-based WH Group, which is the largest world's largest pork producer, has spun off Smithfield Foods into a U.S.-listed company with a valuation up to $10 billion U.S. dollar. Because it seeks to establish a separate fundraising platform for its U.S. and Mexican business. And also in April, Chinese state-owned oil and gas heavyweight Canuck International announced that it has sold the Gulf of Mexico business held by Canuck Energy to a U.S.-based energy firm. And some of the companies are not necessarily immediately respond to this type of trade war volatility, because we know that there are certainly a lot of things in fluid, and some of the companies are delaying their new investment projects in the U.S., like delay their planned investment, like, Envision Group is a Chinese-owned battery manufacturer. They actually announced they plan to set up two large U.S. battery plants in Kentucky and South Carolina. But what happens is that the plants just got postponed because of the ongoing trade volatility. And that size still remains an empty shell right now. And, no clear restart date has been announced. So apparently people are adopting wait and see approach to see whether this kind of trade negotiation would come into a more stable stage.
Yeah, it's really interesting because they're all kind of like significant companies in quite strategic industries. Could we now look at the Chinese companies that have US listings through ADRs or American depository receipts? Could you start by briefly explaining what an ADR is and why Chinese companies use them? Perhaps just briefly explaining this idea or concept of the variable interest entity or VIE structure.
Yes, so ADRs and VIEs are basically financial structures used by companies, especially Chinese firms, to access foreign capital, particularly in the U.S. stock markets. So ADRs are U.S. traded certificates that present shares in a foreign company, and they allow U.S. investors to buy shares in foreign companies without dealing with, foreign exchanges or currencies. For example, instead of buying Alibaba shares on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, U.S. investor can buy Alibaba ADRs on the NYSE, so it's just much easier. For the VIE, VIE structure involves a shell company, often, registered in Cayman Islands, that enters into contracts with the actual Chinese company to control its profit, but not own it directly. But U.S. investors buy shares in the offshore shell, not the actual operating Chinese business. And the issue is that the SEC demands more transparency and auditing from, foreign, especially Chinese companies. And the U.S., U.S. government officials threaten to delist some of the companies that don't allow U.S. regulators to inspect audits and look into the books of some of those Chinese companies. And that's why, it's interesting that geopolitical tensions actually, make these financial links very fragile, because both sides are looking to protect their investor interests and protect their national securities through this kind of crackdown, and sometimes at the expense of cross-border listings.
And we reported previously on this that many Chinese companies were already moving away from listing in the US using ADRs. Could you talk about that kind of further fall in popularity this year? Are there still plenty of Chinese companies that are listed using this mechanism?
Well, there certainly our companies listed in the US through these ADRs. However, we rarely see that new listing happening nowadays because of the very fragile investor sentiments over there. But what we do see is there is a trend of US listed Chinese companies that are seeking secondary or dual real listings in other markets this year, especially in Hong Kong Stock Exchange. And I think one of the notable examples would be like CATL, one of the world's leading EV battery manufacturer. It's actually also on the US Pentagon's military end users list. They just had a major secondary listing in Hong Kong earlier this year, raising, I think, $4.6 billion US dollar. So making it the largest IPOs in Hong Kong for 4 years.
Okay, and so now that the US is no longer seen as such a suitable place for a secondary listing, particularly following the American First Investment Policy or the America First Investment Policy, where else are companies looking to list? Hong Kong, as you mentioned, that seems like a very natural place because it's got lots of outside capital, although while still having the kind of Chinese base. What about other bourses in Asia? And could we see a kind of rise in popularity again for the Asian stock exchanges?
Well, yes, certainly Hong Kong is the most competitive place to replace US because of the faster, fast track listing mechanism, and they have the supportive reforms for VIEs, and also some of the favorable policy towards biotech pre-revenue firms, as well as strong domestic and southbound stock connect liquidity. These are certainly attractive to a lot of investors that are seeking liquidity through IPOs. And so alternatively, people are talking about Singapore, because Singapore offers incentives as tax rebates and lay out a simple review process for new listing. But the concern is that the scale and the liquidity of the exchange is still too small to host most of the ADRs. That's why I think for now, most of the companies are considering Hong Kong as their primary and preferred secondary or dual listing venue right now.
And just to finish off, Ling, how easy is it for Chinese companies with ADRs listed in New York to transfer that listing or move that listing to Hong Kong?
Well, the secondary listing on the mechanism is quite straightforward because all the company, all the financials are already public, and valuation, they also have a valuation benchmark. So it's easy for the bankers to set the valuation range. It's pretty much a no-brainer for most of the bankers to do the work. And they will relist in Hong Kong Stock Exchange through Hong Kong dollar.
Thank you. And just to be clear, this is only for secondary listings where they've got the primary listing in mainland China.
Well, the primary listing, some primary listing, we're talking primary listing US.
Oh, so the primary listing would be in the US under the ADRs, and then they would have a secondary listing in Hong Kong.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Ling, really good to talk to you. Thank you. That was Ling Yang, an editor for Merger Market in China. And just to point out, we are recording this on Wednesday, the 25th of June. Thanks for listening to this episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it on your podcast app and please give us a rating or review. If you'd like to know more about what we've been talking about on this episode, please have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.